Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, titled The Vision of the Ram and Goat. This is part 2 of 2.
Verse 3 in Revelation 12 says, And there appeared another wonder in heaven, just like Daniel. And behold, a great red dragon. That's who the Antichrist is possessed by at this point. So we're talking about the great red dragon, but he possesses the Antichrist. And look what it says. This is why we know it's talking about the red dragon possessing the Antichrist, because it says he had seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. That's a direct reference to the Antichrist. Now verse 4. What did we read back here in verse 10, it says, And he cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. And we know he's not talking about those big gas balls out there. He's talking about stars. The Bible refers to angels as stars. Now look at verse 4 in Revelation 12. And his tail drew the third part of the what? Stars of what? And it cast them to the earth. Just like we just read in Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. And the dragon stood before the woman which is ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's all in the Christmas story. Now, we don't have time. Go back and watch the video, Revelation 12. But that is what that's referring to. Satan's kingdom is chaotic and full of division. You see, he's the Antichrist, but he's casting down fallen angels and some of the host. It says, and he cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. So there's going to be all these, we don't know how many, fallen angels during the tribulation period. Folks, I don't want to be there for that. Be saved and get out of here. Because you do not want to be here for this. It's ugly with a capital U. We used to cheer U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. Well, that's true about the tribulation. You ugly. Hey, hey, you ugly. You never heard that before? Yeah? Oh, it's their song. I didn't know that. And so a lot of times prophecy teachers lay out the tribulation period and, you know, it's going to be this and this and everything's going to happen. And when you get in the Scripture, you find out it's not going to be as cut and dry as they say. We know basics of what's going to happen. But, you know, we're going to read in Daniel later on, there are going to be people fighting against the Antichrist who aren't any more saved than Satan. There are going to be people who are going to fight against the Antichrist just because they don't want to be a part of the Antichrist kingdom and under his authority. They're not Christians. That's going to happen. So not everybody. That's why there's been only a couple of books and films that I've seen where they present that. They make it look like everybody who's against the Antichrist is a good Christian. And then all the bad people who aren't Christians get to take the mark. And that's just not that cut and dry. And we'll get to that in our studies, but let's continue verse 11. Now, you should recognize this. You're thinking of the Antichrist. But remember, we're talking about the little horn, and this is Antiochus Epiphanes, and he is a type of the Antichrist. Read verse 11 with me. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, Paul speaks of this, and there are other references. Jesus says, you know, when you see the abomination of desolation, heathen hath understanding, let him understand. He says that which Daniel speaks of, by the way, when it comes to the, so he points us right back here. And we'll make reference to that in the next study. But oh, I'm going to go read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 real quick. This is where Paul makes reference to the Antichrist doing exactly what we read in Daniel 8:11. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read verses 3 and 4. I'll read, as you're turning there, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him," rapture. Verse 2, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Read verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So there's Paul referring to exactly what he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, calling himself God. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. And that's why we know that when we see the Jews who are already prepared to build the Temple Mount faithful have everything ready. And one report said that within 3 months, they can have that temple up and operational. And there's going to be sacrifice. Now that sacrifice, people think, they accuse us falsely all the time. We're not glad that they're going to do that. We're just saying it's going to happen. Those sacrifices and that shed blood is blasphemous. Jesus has already paid it all. His blood has taken care of sin. Any sacrifice not mandated by God for some other purpose, which will happen during the millennium, is blasphemous. During that tribulation temple period, they're going to be killing animals and shedding the blood of those animals in an attempt to cover sin. And it won't do them any good. And right in the middle of the tribulation, right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, he's going to cut it off. The daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Verse 12, read that. "And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." And so he set up a false worship in the temple. Antiochus Epiphanes did this, but the Antichrist will as well. This is from the Maccabees. Maccabees is not inspired scripture, but it's a history book. It's just like any other history book. It's not infallible, but it's useful. That's why the original King James Version in 1611, they placed the Apocrypha in between the Old and New Testaments. And they made it clear that it wasn't scripture, but it's there to connect the Testaments. A lot of your Bibles do that today, and they just have a couple of pages of something. They'll say, you know, intertestamental period or something like that. But in their day, they decided they would put this. And it is useful if you understand it's for history. And Maccabees 1, 44 through 47, in the King James Version, said, "For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land and forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings," just like we said, "in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbaths and festival days, and pollute the sanctuary and holy people, set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh." If you know anything about the Jews, that's the worst. "And unclean beasts, that they should also leave their children uncircumcised, and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation, to the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinances. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king," he said, "he should die." Do you know there's a movement right now to force the Jews to stop circumcising their kids? As it was the first time Jesus came, so it is the second. There's so many things that happened when Jesus came the first time. It's all being set up now. Everybody had Koine Greek. Today, everybody's learning English. Go around the world, English is everyone's second language in addition to their first language. But also, the geeks are taking care of the problem and putting these little hearing aid things in your ears where they actually will, when you talk to someone who's speaking Mandarin Chinese, for example, you will hear English. And if they are wearing them, you can speak English and they will hear Mandarin Chinese. So many things are lining up. just like it did the first time Jesus came. Now, the first part of verse 13 begins by saying, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake." I know it's late and you're tired, but you got to get this. This is amazing. This is something. This could be angels. And there's commentators who say that these are the angels talking. But it doesn't say angels. It says saints. So it could be Enoch talking to Elijah or Moses. You say, why doesn't it tell us who it is? Because he didn't want you to know yet. But you know how I know it could be? We read about it later in the Mount of Transfiguration. These saints, Elijah and Moses, are on the mountain with Jesus, talking to each other, just like we see here. I just think that's an amazing thing to think of. You just think about that. Daniel's seeing a vision, and it's possible he's seeing Moses and Elijah or Enoch talking. Ain't that cool? And so we close now with the rest of verse 13. It says, "How," this is what the saint which spake said, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" That's a mouthful. But it's because that's what Daniel's blown away by this. It's the temple he's seeing. The temple had already been destroyed. He's seeing the temple again. See, in right now in Daniel's life, the temple is in existence. It doesn't exist. But he's seeing a temple there, and he's seeing the sacrifice, and he's blown away. He says, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the transgression of desolation, all the things that would matter to a Jew?" And read verse 14 with me. "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now that number there, 2,300 days, has caused a lot of problems. The reason it's caused a lot of problems, because everybody wants to be super spiritual. And instead of taking what the Bible says, they come up with all this stuff. So what they start by doing is saying, well, the King James translators actually didn't get it right. And so instead of taking what they say days, 2,300 days, the words are 2,300 days. Day, D-A-Y-S. And they'll say, well, the Hebrew means evenings and mornings. That's a day, amen? Well, the Seventh-day Adventist founder, William Miller, no relation, he corrected his King James Bible and told everybody that meant years. And then falsely predicted the Second Coming. He believed that the countdown began in 457 B.C., and so you do the math, and that brings you to the year 1843. Wouldn't have been a civil war. Abe Lincoln would have never been president and then shot in the head. There's some good side to it. You know, we wouldn't have known Hillary existed. But, the bad side is I wasn't born yet. You know, but anyway. Didn't happen, amen? So we're going to pick up there the next time if the Lord tarries. But and we'll talk about what the 2,300 days means. So if you want to find that out, come next time. But what you don't want to do is change your Bible. If what you think doesn't match up with this book, let me let you in on a little tip. Change your opinion. Don't change the book. And, you know, it's exciting to think of finding some little clue in the Bible that'll tell you when Jesus is going to come back. But then Jesus said, you can't. It's not going to happen. No man knows the day or the hour. And then before he ascended to heaven, it's the last thing he said. you know, the times and seasons are not appointed to you to know. So that's how dumb human beings are. Then we look and say, well, yeah, but you're saying there's a chance. No, I just said there's no chance. And then they'll come out in the book next year. Say, well, I know Jesus said that, but... Goat's butt. Sheep follow. Amen? And that's such a beautiful say. When you tell somebody the Scripture, we've had them right here in this room since we moved in this building. We've had them at the other building. And I've talked to them. And I'll say what the Bible says. And their first word is, but. 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 You know, that's how they should say it. But. Good, Doug.
The Bible says that's supposed to be ready in season and out of season.
Yeah. Preach the word. Yeah, Johnny.
Well, I mean, I guess it's pretty. Maybe I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but.
Johnny. But. But. That's a different form of the word but. Go ahead.
Yeah, 23 and 4. It's. I think it's a little more than 6 years, I guess. Isn't it? Almost 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the 3.5. That's the problem. Is where do you begin it and end it, since it's not exactly 3.5, but we're going to talk about that next time. Yeah, John, Charlie.
We're
kind of
6.5.
Yeah.
With the little horn that Christ is teaching me, and I'm talking about him. So, was there some spiritual significance in that guy who we're talking about? Like, was there some religion?
No, what he's basically, you know how they had emperor worship to begin with and all that. But he was basically setting himself up as God, like the Antichrist will, and defiling. He knew the religion. He knew the Jewish religion. So he knew that what he was doing, including that and sacrificing swine, that he was just decimating their religion. He was the ultimate evil up to that point. You know, because the Jews had been, you know, wiped out, and Nebuchadnezzar took all the holy materials, and Belshazzar's drinking wine out of the, you know, but still this took it to a whole other level. And so that's what the Antichrist will then come. And he's going to take it to a whole nother level. But the main, from our perspective, the main point of Antiochus is he's bad. He's a type of the Antichrist. And yet, Jesus said, what's coming? We ain't seen nothing yet.
First place in your heart. Give him first place in your heart. strength of your youth.